Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the instant match reaction after Liverpool lost 3-0 in the Nou Camp to Barcelona in the Champions League semi-final, first leg. I'm Ben, Bailey joins me. Bailey, how the fuck did we lose that 3-0?
Mate, I don't know. You know what, I was hoping you'd ask me that exact question because I try and stay off Twitter for when we do videos like this because I you don't want your opinion influenced by others, but I needed some consoling. Mm. You know, I need to liaise with some other fans and say, like, what are they saying? And Raj Kohan, who's a guy that I talked to quite a lot on Twitter, he's a really nice guy. We had more possession at the Camp Nou, 52% versus 48, more shots, 15 to 11, more shots on target, 5 to 4, more shots inside the box, 12 to 9, and the same number of big chances, 3 to 3. And then he says, I don't mind when we get legitimately outclassed, but a 3-0 loss with how this game went is an absolute sickener. And I think he summed that up well.
I think the difference is obviously, I think, well, not only the finishing, but the difference is that tonight has been messy. And we will talk about him a little bit later on. But let's go back to the beginning, the team. Now, it's interesting because obviously Firmino's not fully fit, but the team comes in and it's not the first time in the Champions League this season, particularly away, that we've like questioned Klopp and his team selection. Mm. And most of the time, in fact, pretty much all of the time, he's proved us wrong and he's gone, you know, this team's gone out and done the business. Do you think tonight he did get it wrong? Or given the fact that we've just discussed that we didn't really deserve to lose the game, was it down to Klopp?
Yes and no. Like I hate when people say that, but it's like, in hindsight,
it's a question we've got to ask.
Yeah, of course it is. And in hindsight, yes, but equally at the start of the game, I said in front of all of you, Gini Wijnaldum up front, go ahead. You know, because there's been the biggest game I remember is when we had Wolves. You know, in the FA Cup, we played a 4-2-2 with Divock Origi and Daniel Sturridge up front on their own. Obviously, this was just after Everton, so I was made up to see these guys up front, and it just didn't work. You know, it was so flat. But looking back to this, it became apparent very quickly that I don't think Joe Gomez is quite up to the pace yet. And it looked to me like, you know, Liam was saying, you know, he's coming too inside. You need the midfield to drop and try and give him a hand. But obviously, one of our midfielders was playing in the false nine. And it just seemed to me like if you're going to sit off of him, if you're going to sit off of their left-hand side, then the best sort of form of defence is attack. You know, if we had Trent on there to challenge up these flanks, we were getting countless amounts of the ball. It seemed like the wise thing to do. And then obviously, you look at Gini Wijnaldum, and who would have thought he'd be in the number nine?
I know. I think they're the two players that you've touched on there that I think are probably worth talking about the most, because I think that is the criticism you can have of Klopp, because obviously he's got to make these decisions, and they are big decisions. But is that the game to drop in for Gomez for his first start since December? Is that the game to experiment a little bit and put Gini Wijnaldum in the nine? I know we've not got options, but and I know he probably doesn't want to play Origi because he's just not got the quality for that kind of game. Mm. So obviously, if it was a game, you know, like Watford the other week, for example, you play Mane down the middle and you play Origi, you know, but is it the game to be not messing about, but you know what I mean? It's kind of that, you're tinkering with things. It's like, we always talk about how, you know, Pep Guardiola, does he overthink the big games, these team selections? I wonder whether he's overthought it a little bit tonight and gone, well, I might as well try something different. And people will probably disagree with me, and that's absolutely fine. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Yeah. The game started and it was very open, pretty much right from the start. I think within the first 5 minutes, they had half a chance and so did we. Penalty shouts, I feel like both teams though were that one incisive pass from scoring, and it was Barca who found it first.
It was, and you know, it's I saw a lot of it at half time, you know, rival fans and our own fans saying, you know, Van Dijk can't let him go there and all this stuff, but to me that was
I think it's just on a It's on a sixpence, isn't it?
It's on a sixpence to Luis Suarez, yeah. You know, the guy that we screamed to the heavens for years. He was the best striker in the world, and there's no way I'm going to sit here and say, you know, I hate him for it, because I loved exactly what he showed today for Barcelona when he played in a red shirt, and I won't hold that against him. And he comes through, you know, that's what Barca were fantastic at. You know, we did this a lot with Messi. You sit off of him to see what he does, and he just lays off a simple pass to the right, because you're playing, you've got three men sitting off of these Barcelona attackers, and the wide men just come over and they overload you, and that's what happened. We let him go wide, and Suarez just breaks through the middle, and he does what Suarez does. He does not hesitate to take this chance, and just flicks it over Alisson's leg into the corner, and you're like, well, that's Luis Suarez.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is difficult. Obviously, we're biased, and that's why we're here.
Yeah.
But I genuinely believe, and to be honest, I've not seen too much criticism from my mates who aren't Liverpool fans either. Mm-hmm. I genuinely believe that that ball is just impossible to defend, because it is exactly where you want it to be. Obviously, a little bit before that, Naby Keita goes off injured, and that's probably his season now. If he's pulled a groin, assuming that we don't make the final, fingers crossed though. You know, so Henderson comes on. How do you think he changed the game?
He was vibrant, you know. I when I saw Keita on the pitch, I was like, he was obviously another change that we mentioned about that wasn't glaringly obvious. Is why has he done that? But I think Keita had to get a game at some point, and I liked that's what he was doing. But what you get with Jordan Henderson is a bit like what Naby Keita offers anyway. But I think you get a little bit more security. You know, I think what Naby Keita lacks is a little bit of, he takes a little bit too much time on the ball now and then, and sometimes his passing is a bit wayward. Whereas you saw instantly, Jordan Henderson was finding the passes, especially on that right flank, that we were missing with Trent.
Yeah.
You know, Trent's normally the guy that's always that right-hand side outlet that gets venomous balls into the box. And you saw instantly Henderson came on and knew where his role needed to be. And I had no problem with that. You know, it's gone are the days of, you know, we've got to put Jordan Henderson on. That's a blow to us.
Yeah.
You know, it elevated us.
Yeah,
you
know, and he makes that chance, doesn't he, for Mane in the first half. He just sweeps that ball, and it is class. So obviously then half time comes and goes, we're 1-0 down.
Yep.
Doesn't change anything at the break. We discussed that maybe the possibility of bringing off Wijnaldum, because he had been a little bit of a passenger,
yep,
I think.
Yeah.
But then we have this spell of 15 minutes, and that for me is the key spell in this game, but not only the game, but probably in the whole tie, where we have two or three chances, and then obviously the Salah one we'll talk about later on. We have two or three chances where Milner probably could have scored a couple. We've got chances there. I think it's a completely different game. It's obviously a completely different game if we go and get a goal there. And I think at this level, it's maybe, I know how good we are, but it is maybe just that little bit of inexperience that's cost us there. And we'll learn quickly, because we'll go, look, at this level, you cannot afford to miss chances like that. And I think, you know, they then go on and they get the lucky second goal. It all could have been so different.
Mate, it could. And, you know, I was saying, how does it keep falling to James Milner?
Yeah.
And it was like, back in the Champions League last year, that's why Oxlade-Chamberlain was so brilliant, because he was always that 10 that was there for the rebounds, there for the balls that came loose to the edge of the box in the centre to take a shot like that. You know, he came to James Milner, and Milner's a fantastic player, and he scored a lot of important goals for Liverpool. But when it's Ter Stegen was on his game, you know, you saw with that Salah save where he goes right into the post, tips it wide. You need to be clinical, you need to be crucial. And like you say, that again, we'll go on to that Salah chance. It's like he slides that in after a manic sort of few passes of play in the box, and Salah slides it, saying just get straight down, you know. And that they are the tiny little moments where you're like, it could go either way, and it just didn't fall for it.
I know. And then obviously we touched on it just briefly there, but the second goal then, we talk a lot downstairs about Fabinho, and I think he was very good first half, struggled a little bit in the second, but it's so difficult to criticise him for the second goal in terms of the tackle that he makes. It's such a good tackle, and it happens to fall to Suarez, who basically fluffs it comes off his knee. And then even Virgil, like, you can't even say that he's like ball watching or it falls to Messi. It's just a moment of luck where, and that you'll never know whether that is a moment of brilliance from Messi, because he can just anticipate, he's at that elite mentality level where he can almost, he's almost living 5 seconds ahead of everybody else, and he can see where that ball's going to drop. But at the same time, you go, well, what do you do? It comes off the bar a couple of inches upwards, and it goes up off the bar and over. A couple of inches downwards, it drops in. You know, it is just so unlucky. And I just think that given that 15-minute spell that we had, I mean, they score, I don't know when that second goal was, to be honest. I kind of lost track of the time, but that moment was so key for us, just that 15-minute spell. And I think really our, not so much our unluckiness, if that's a word, but like our lack of being clinical, our lack of being clinical in that 15 minutes is probably, it might not, because we might do the business next week, but I think that's probably going to lose us the tie.
It's just that, you know, that second goal, it's textbook, the goals that we seem to lap up every single game, and it's going to happen to us. It just seems to happen two or three times in the same game, you know, and that's what typifies the unluckiness. But it's the fact that, you know, Virg is going, he's on his way back, as the ball comes through, Virg on his way back to return into left-sided centre-back and switching with Matip, and that's when the pass comes through. So Virg has stepped past the ball and it's gone behind him, so he's completely out of position.
Yeah.
Straight into Suarez, who hits the post, but at this point, Virg has already committed to going back to the left-hand side, and Matip's just stood in no-man's land because he expected to go in. So everyone's static, everyone thinks Suarez has scored, and Messi's just there to chest it down and put it in, and it's just like, oh, please.
Just won't fall for us. Right, let's talk about it then. So, over the years, since I've been doing this job, I've sat on shows like this and Final Words, and we have talked about the showpiece moment in a game, and it's always been a Liverpool goal. Yeah. It's always been Mo Salah against Chelsea the other week. Mo Salah, mostly.
Milner against Fulham.
But I'm talking about the real moment of magic that is the difference. Tonight, Lionel Messi puts a free kick top bins from 35 yards. And I said this to you downstairs before we filmed this. It's almost like, well, all's forgiven, because I just love him. I just love him to bits. And it's so difficult to hate what he did, because I'll go home tonight and I'll watch that again, because it's just, you have to admire the quality of a footballer like that. And honestly, growing up, like, it's 10 years this year since he scored the goal in the Champions League final against Man United. I don't know whether you'll remember this, where he loses his boot jumping down and he's running. And that is when I first remember watching Lionel Messi and thinking, oh my God. And then over the years, he did it again at Wembley against United as well. He's done it against Chelsea. He's put in performance against Arsenal. And obviously, because we've been where we are as a club for all these years, we've never crossed paths with him, really. Yeah. And tonight, he had his moment against us. And even though it is heartbreaking, you have to look at it and go, that is ridiculous. And obviously Chris and Paul will be in the new camp and they'll be absolutely devastated tonight going home, and you know, they'll wake up tomorrow and they'll just want to be back in their own bed. Yeah. But it's like, you must feel blessed to have seen that live. It's just, it's one of those moments.
Yeah, I do like Lionel Messi, and I think that at the end of the day, as football fans and as football players, it's Lionel Messi's world, and they just play in it.
Yeah.
You know, not one player on earth looks at Lionel Messi and says, you're not the best player in the world. And it hurts. And I know all of you watching at home hearing us say, you know, Lionel Messi's a fantastic player.
We'll get so much stick in the comments for this.
We will. it's really hard to stay level-headed, obviously, trying to do the shows that we do. But it's like,
I think it's got to be said.
And it's the fact that I've seen him do that, like you've said really correctly there, against every top team on earth. I've seen him score a worldie of a goal, a worldie of free, and just laughed and be like, that's Lionel Messi, as if he's done your team like that. And it just happens that Liverpool's turn has come up. You know, we haven't played them since 2007. We saw the start of Messi, and now we're seeing him at his, what you could say, his absolute prime. And if any guy's going to score that 35-yard free kick, it's Messi. And the match won't go out, but it's, I literally sat there, slumped in my chair, saying, if this goes in, that's it. And I literally left the room. Because I was like, that's just Lionel Messi typified. And it's hard.
A moment of brilliance. I think we gamble then, I think, after the third goal. We go for it. And we lose shape a bit. And I think that's the risk you've got to take. Because you're almost at the point with 3-0 where you go, well, this might as well be 4.
Yeah.
But if we go and get the away goal, then you've paid off massively.
Yep, definitely.
I wasn't happy with it because I just didn't want to lose 4-0. Four's another level. Like, there's a difference between 3 and 4. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Especially the quality of goals.
Especially in a Champions League semi final, you don't want to get a hiding. But I can understand why he did it, and obviously he's got faith in his squad to go and do that. But either way, Bailey, it's now just a huge task next week.
Yeah, I mean, if you got. Yeah, you have got it on there. I was going to say, we can't go without talking about that Salah fucking...
Oh, right. I thought we'd already touched on it, but yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, that is another turning point.
That's the roll of the dice, you know. Yeah. We Klopp literally said, you know what, Divock, get on, Bobby, get on, let's go for it. Because
Was Origi the right sub for you? Or would you have gambled maybe at 1-0 with Trent?
mate, I would have started Trent. You know, I personally.
But obviously that's in hindsight.
Yeah, of course. But my preferred 11 had Trent in it. I thought that we would end up with a lot of pressure from their fullbacks, and you play them at their own game. You know, I think we're going to struggle regardless defensively against their attack. So you might as well try to fight fire with fire, because Trent's biggest asset's not his defensive ability; it's his 12 assists he's got this season. So you know, it's one of those. But like we were saying, we did get the chance. You know, we've massively rolled the dice, and it falls to Bobby first
to save, and then Salah's the one in it. And I think, you know what? I think it's slightly ahead of him. I think he should score. He should absolutely score. But I think it is slightly ahead of him, and I think it comes to him, and he's probably not expecting it to come to him. He's got to score. I want to reiterate that he has got to score. It is a sitter that he's missed, but I think if it's even a yard close to him, I think he buries it and it's all fine. But
I think he's got a lot of confidence in his own ability, and rightfully so. He's a brilliant player, and there was a lot of Barcelona players on the line, so he probably thought, well, I've got to get this high and close. But it's a case of, you know, I came back into the room after the Messi free kick, and we were there, and I was like, oh my god, are we actually going to claw this back? And it hitting the post there, it's like, it's not our day whatsoever. You know, if your Messi 35-yard free kick for 3-0 didn't typify that or solidify that for you, Salah hitting the post from 7 yards will. And you have to hold your hands up sometimes and say it's not our day.
Just wasn't our night, and I think we'll round up there. It just wasn't our night, unfortunately. Thanks very much for watching. If you've made it this far, I know these are a slog when we've lost, and it feels weird losing. I've got to say, that's only the fifth game we've lost this season in all competitions, which I think is such an achievement in itself. The three Champions League away games, the Wolves and City.
Chelsea.
Oh, six. Lose to Chelsea? Oh yeah. Okay.
Seven.
Yeah.
But it's still seven
out of God knows how many. Okay. Yeah, thanks very much for listening, everybody. We'll be back after Newcastle. I don't know, we'll be back. But somebody will be back. Ta-ra.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.